Welcome to the Mavs Fans for Life podcast. I am your host, Landon Thomas. I am joined by Ian Kayanja and Sean Navaz Makani. Today, we are talking about the Mavs going streaking. They are going streaking in Dallas. Luka is going streaking himself with 30 plus. JaVale McGee, Dwight Powell, starting situation. And then Josh Green. What is it? He got the green light, Green Lantern. I don't know, whatever you want to call him. He is doing his thing. So let's start it off. The Mavs winning streak. They won 4 out of 5 on their home stand. Went in the past 4. Things are rocking. Things are looking good right now. They started this home stand 2-2, and then they lose to the Thunder. That was pretty bad. And then they bounce back and they win the last 4 games early in the season. Ian, what's your assessment of the Mavs and how they've played in this homestand?
I am no longer calling the team the Dallas Mavericks, frankly.
What?
They are now the Dallas Luka Doncic's. Nothing else matters. All right? Because that is the only way they win games. This isn't a team. This is a one-man band. And that one man is Luka Doncic. No one else matters. Talk about being the engine. Luka Doncic is the engine. He's the gasoline. He's the wheels. He's the brakes. He's the logo. He's the uniform. He's the basket. He's the basketball. This is now the Dallas Luka Doncic's. And this streak has been powered by him literally snatching victory from the jaws of defeat from the rest of the Mavericks, who can't seem to get their act together.
Welcome back, Sean Navaz. what do you say to that?
Oh, boy. It is always fun to chat with Ian, to counter Ian's. If this was a one man, I pulled up just, you know, looking back at the last few games. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the win against Utah, it was Spencer Dinwiddie who had 20 points. In the win against Toronto, Spencer Dinwiddie also had 20 points. In the win against Orlando, Tim Hardaway Jr. had 21 points. And in the win against Brooklyn last night, Josh Green had 16 points. So I don't think it's all about Luka. Yes, Luka is on a historic pace with his scoring, but if it was just him, the Mavericks would not be where they are right now. In fact, they should probably be better than they are right now. And we've talked about this offline, and you can say what you will about the losses to Oklahoma City and to Phoenix, and especially the Pelicans when they were missing 3 of their best players. But if this team didn't have 3 of those guys, who knows what this, you know, who knows how bad this team would be if it was just Luka throwing up 35 tonight. So this team is more than Luka. Do I think it's a complete team? No, and we can talk about that all year. But to say that this is the Dallas Luka Doncic's, I think it's a little disrespectful to the
just
rest.
Just a little bit. I mean, Ian, why are you shaking your head at Sean Navaz when Sean Navaz is backing it up? He's justifying why it's not just Luka.
Look. I will put it simply, all right? In the last 10 games, Luka is 36, 8.5, 8.4, shooting 52% from the field. Exactly, in the last 10. This we're talking about, okay, they're going to be playing 10 right. games tonight. Come on, man. Give me some.
I'm in the middle. I'm not playing sides.
Look, and then on top of that, man, we're talking about some 40-some performances, 44 ball to start against Orlando. I mean, like, yes, you can tell me Spencer Dinwiddie did this or Tim Hardaway Jr. did that. They're not doing that if Luka's not out there, all right? Like, we forget that the year the Cavs won 60-plus games in LeBron's first tenure there, Mo Williams averaged 20 points per game, but were they winning games because Mo Williams was averaging 20, or were they winning games because LeBron was averaging 30? Let's be real.
You could honestly say that about any team that's ever won the NBA championship ever. I mean, is Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday really leading Milwaukee to a title if Giannis Antetokounmpo is not on the floor with them? I don't think so, right? Are the Cavaliers winning the championship with just Kyrie and just Kevin Love without LeBron? No. Is Luka overexerting himself? Is he potentially average? I don't even know if you can average too many points per se, right? I understand your argument, what you're saying, that this team obviously needs another shooter, another ball handler, whatever the case may be. But when push comes to shove, what we've seen through the first 10 games of the season or 9 games of the season when the Mavericks have won their games – it's been other players, their role players, stepping up as well. The games that they've lost, we've seen – in fact, the games that the Mavs have lost have been just kind of out-of-this-world losses. The what was it, the 14-point lead against Oklahoma City with three minutes left, losing to Phoenix on a crazy Damian Lee shot, the inexplicable loss to the Pelicans where they still came back. Let's not forget the Mavericks were down and still came back to only lose that game, I think, by a possession. So – the role players have stepped up. Are they the right role players? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know, and it's still too early in the year to say that. But you have to give credit where credit is due, and the Mavericks would not be in the position that they are right now without their role players. And I can almost bet as we go forward in this, go forward throughout the season, Luka's scoring averages are going to regress towards the mean. I don't think he's going to be averaging 35, 36 a game. I think you'll see it closer to that 28, 29 a game. Where he normally is throughout the year.
All I'm saying is this, and that, yeah, like, do the role players hit some timely shots? 100%. I agree with you there, Sean Navas. But Luka has the highest usage rate of his career at 39.2. So, I in my mind, I could almost care less if Dorian Finney-Smith is shooting the ball well in the corner, if it's still Luka having to pass him the ball because Luka's drawn 3 defenders.
But if it works, so, it works.
Yeah, sure. I'm just saying, is it the role players look good because Luka Doncic is literally having the ball in his hands more than ever before, and he's making things hum. He's the oil in the Pistons. He's the wind beneath the Mavericks' wings.
But if it works, it works.
And
if it works, he's the second.
I'm just saying this team is not much if Luka's not there, and they're a Western Conference contending team with him there. And that, to me, just more so speaks to how great he's been to start the season. And I mean, personally, in all my years watching the NBA, I've been blessed to see, you know, KD, LeBron, all them. I Giannis, but the starts that both Luka and Giannis are having are something I have never seen before in my life. Where how many times have we been texting on a text thread and we're like, wait, Luka has 28 before halftime?
Isn't he averaging like 15 in the first quarter? Like 15 in the first quarter by himself? Like, it's ridiculous. Like
it's so absurd. And so it's almost like the reason I call this team the Dallas Luka Doncic is because what he's doing is so absurd, and yet it feels so normal. And look, Spencer Dinwiddie's a fine player. Christian Wood's a fine player. Tim Hardaway Jr. is a streaky but fine player. Dorian Finney-Smith can do everything that won't get you glory. But Luka, I mean, again, like, and I rarely give Mavericks guys credit sometimes, but man, Luka is just in a league of his own. You know, and so until further notice, they are the Dallas Luka Doncic's Ion just can.
And look, I'll be perfectly fine with that, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right? It's clearly working for the Mavericks right now. I'm fine with it. And I'll refer back to Landis. When Landon, what's my favorite phrase that I'd say in our text thread to Ian?
It's just game 9.
It's still early. It's still game nine. It's still early, man. You were throwing up the towel, throwing in the towel 2 days ago.
Oh,
You're throwing in the towel like 2 days ago on this team, man. Come on. It's still early, man. It's only game 9. Look, Landon said we're not even game 10. We're not even to game 10 yet. We haven't even seen the famous Jason Kidd lineup change after 10 games, remember? So let's wait and see, man.
Ian was rubbing those hands together going to the arena a week ago. Now he's skipping in the arena. You know, he's feeling good about this team. Well, I am too. And the reason that I am is because, like both of y'all saying, role players shine at different moments, but the main player who drives this team shines every single game. And he makes it easier for those role players to shine in those moments. I mean, he's averaging 36 points a game, 8.4 rebounds a game, 8.3 assists. And he's number one in PER. I mean, Luka's playing this good. He doesn't have a player of the week. It's gonna be interesting, obviously, because wins matter. But now that they're on a winning streak and the schedule is looking favorable, obviously they have to take care of business. They play the Magic tonight. Oh, well, they changed the time, so they play the Magic late afternoon. And then they got the Wizards, but they got to keep the momentum going. They got to keep beating the teams who they are supposed to beat. Because it could be interesting where Luka wins player of the month without winning player of the week throughout that month. But I think the usage is fine because he is Luka. I mean, Ian, you said it, 39. Giannis' usage is 38. And it's fine for Luka. I think how they're rolling right now, you got to keep the momentum going. And honestly, I think we've said it before, and Ian, you just pointed it out, which I agree with. He has to play this way. If the Mavs want to keep winning these games, he has to keep producing like this, because that's the only way they're going to beat the good teams. By, you know, driving behind a top three player in this league right now. And last week I said, I think he's the best player in this league right now. Obviously, Giannis is neck and neck, but he's getting compared to Michael Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain with the streak of 30 plus right now. No one has ever done that to start the season. 9 games of 30 plus. He's one game of 35 plus points away from having 50 in his career, and he's only 23. I mean, I think Dirk had 78 for his whole career, and that's just crazy to think about how good he can be even more than he is now. Sean Navaz, I'll start with you. Now that the Mavericks have a winning streak, what do you want to see from this team as a whole in the next few games as you watch this Mavericks team?
Yeah, I think number one, I think the injury to Tim Hardaway Jr. is unfortunate, you know, fortunate timing when I think, you know, I think he was kind of hitting his stride as well. He had a really good opening start to the game against Brooklyn, and then the slippery, you know, a fall on the slippery court or something. And I know we don't know the extent of the injury yet, but I think that opens the door for more playing time, obviously, for Josh Green, who I think we'll get into. I want to see more consistency from, from like we talked about, the role players. Dinwiddie, I feel like, has been what we've needed him to be. I mean, he started off the year slow, but we've seen a couple 20-point games from him. Reggie Bullock, man, I know he's a slow starter, but the guy's got to put it together at some point, right? He's got to start knocking down some shots. They've got to start figuring out how to take the burden off of Luka and figure out exactly what rotation is going to work out for them. They've got a relatively, you know, decent stretch of games, you know, here where Jason Kidd can kind of continue to experiment and see how well, you know, Luka plays alongside, you know, Christian Wood and continue to roll that out, because it's worked really well. But, you know, I just want to see more consistency from guys like Reggie and Josh Green and Dinwiddie, especially with Tim Hardaway Jr. out. I think the Mavericks are going to need those three guys to step up real big in the next few weeks.
Ian, what do you want to see from this team in the next few games coming off this win streak?
It seems so strange to say, but just more minutes for Dwight Powell. I never thought I would utter those words.
Say it again.
The more minutes for Dwight Powell. Now, hear me out. For everything.
Be confident, man.
The Mavericks fans have gone from hating Dwight Powell. You've got
to throw caution on it. Be confident. Say it. Say it with your chest.
I'm just saying.
Say it with your chest. Everything
he doesn't do, he does do something that leads to that group playing well with him. And that group being Luka and Spencer and Reggie and Dorian and Dwight. It's weird. It's weird. It just works sometimes. And like, you look at the box score and you see a whole bunch of zeros and you're like, what? But it works. I mean, we saw it against Brooklyn where those 4 minutes McGee was in, the Mavs were losing those minutes horribly. And then Dwight Powell's in the game and for some reason it just works. They have those guys in the NFL where, you know, they don't do anything special, but they just kind of hold your locker room together. And maybe Dwight Powell is that, you know, like he's the weird mesh in between. Because I wouldn't say that he's a certified glue guy, but he's like a mesh. He's not glue. He's like a moist mesh putty type of situation that I don't know. Guys like playing with him. Spencer went on a monologue, and maybe there's something that we as media members don't see with Dwight that just works. And we don't get it because we tend to look at the box score and you're like, huh? But it's that those unsaid, the unknown intangibles, the effort, the hustle, the getting smacked in your face 4 times a game and getting back up, those types of things. Maybe that rubs off well with that group. But like, I strangely want to see more minutes with Dwight Powell in more minutes with Dwight Powell and Christian Wood lineups. I mean, that would tickle my taste buds.
You are on one. I mean,
Ian's got the weirdest your taste today. Buds. I don't putty and silly goo and
mesh putty. And, I mean,
I don't know. This is
I don't know. I'm speechless. I'm speechless. Like after Spencer Dinwiddie calling Tony Brothers out. That's how speechless I am right now, man. Oh.
I'm gonna have to Urban Dictionary all these phrases, Ian, because I don't know what any of those mean.
You know, you say them at home, Sean Navaj. You know, you say mesh putty.
I tell my wife. That's what I do. It's just mesh putty, babe.
Happy anniversary, babe. Let's go get some mesh putty.
There you go.
It makes sense. It's a vivid description.
There you go. Happy anniversary, Sean Navaj, to you and your wife.
Appreciate it, brother.
What I'm looking forward to most in the next few games is honestly just consistency from Josh Green. I want to see him keep going. Like, the boy was balling. Like, the boy was balling like he wanted a starter spot. Like, he came out to play. And that's a perfect segue into the next topic. But I really want to see Josh to succeed. I mean, I want to see any player succeed, especially in Dallas. I mean, it just makes the vibes really good here. And it's just good all around for fans, for all the Mavs fans. But just to see Josh Green, the hype train is back, baby. It only left for a week or two, but the hype train is back. I told y'all he was going to do this. I told y'all from day one, from training camp, I said, this brother is going to ball out. Believe it. Believe it. Ian, you can shake your head all you want, but I mean, it slowly came into fruition because I'm now seeing it. You're seeing the dunks. You're seeing the three-pointers. It might be a different role than I was expecting. I was expecting him to be a ball handler and more of a scorer this season. But it's shown that he's going back into last year's role, the 3-and-D, but now he's excelling in it. And Dorian said after the game that he went back to his old shooting form, and all the players are telling him, just be confident. He worked really hard this offseason, and he's worked on being confident, not passing up those shots. When he gets it, let it rip, and that's what he's doing. So hopefully I see some consistency on just not necessarily getting 16-5-2 every game, but just being confident. That's what I'm saying, the consistency of being confident and just keep growing in the role that he's been given. So Ian, I'll start with you on Josh Green. What's your thoughts on just the resurgence of him?
Congrats to him for finally putting together some decent basketball. I feel like I've been waiting for some time now. I said a few podcasts ago that he's on borrowed time, and he's lucky, because right now that borrowed time, he's now on a freelance basis with me. He's not getting the full-time contract. He's on a freelance basis, because this is what he does. This is what he does. He puts together these 2-3-game stretches where you see what he could be, and then he puts together 15-game stretches where you see what he isn't. And I'm no longer falling for the bait and switch. Everybody has career nights against the Nets. It's a thing. We all know it's a thing. So I'm not going to believe it until he ties together. Like Jason Kidd says, we like to evaluate things in 10-game increments. I'm not going to believe it until I see it in 10-game increments. Can he put together 2 10-game increments of playing solid basketball?
What do you need to see? He was going up against KD. He was barking at him. He said, rough. That's what he said. He said, rough.
Everybody gets career nights against the Nets, man. Their defense is silly mesh putty. It can't stop anything. And so I need to see Josh Green do this for more than 1 or 2 games. Because you may have bought in on the Josh Green stock again. You may have shorted your stock. For me, I sold everything. I'm not buying in again until I get a guaranteed value on my return. And so, look, I just need to see a good quarter from Josh Green, a good quarter of season production. Until that point, he's on a freelance basis. Come to me with story proposals. I'll think about it.
Landon, did you hear how Ian went from, I want to see a 10-game stretch to now it's a quarter of the season stretch of good Josh Green?
I'm saying how stocks are measured in quarters.
I know.
He's on a freelance position, so he must be interested. He must like what he's seeing.
Must come to me with some good story proposals before I do anything else.
Sean Avaz, what's your thoughts on Josh Green's breakout game and just where he's at right now?
Yeah, I won't go as negative as Ian, and I won't go as positive as you, Landon. I think I'll be the one in the middle this time.
Oh, switching roles. Okay.
And to both of y'all's points, I agree with both what you guys said, right? To Ian's point, it's hard to buy in this early for a long stretch because we've seen flashes before, and it's been a struggle to kind of, when you fall for it and then we don't see it and we're like, well, where is that Josh Green? And then Landon, to your point, we've seen it at the beginning of the season, the improved 3-point shooting, the consistency on defense, the barkiness, right? Just the attitude that he had against Kevin Durant, against the Nets. It's something that we hadn't seen in, you know, I think in a while from him. For me, I think it's the best thing that I've seen about Josh Green is the improvement in his confidence. I think and that's what I talked about before the season when we talked about what did we want to see from Josh Green. It's the confidence. I don't see the hesitation on that 3-pointer anymore. I see when he gets it, he takes the shot. If he misses, that's fine. He takes the next one he's given, right? If he sees the wide open pass, man, he takes it. The way he drives to the basket with authority and, you know, throwing down, you know, he had that crazy go-ahead dunk against the Nets on Monday that was that really kind of sealed the deal for the Mavericks other than, you know, the late missed free throws from Kevin Durant. But, I mean, he really adds a really nice flair and attitude off the bench. And what that is going to allow the Mavericks to do is to give guys like Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock time off, right? These guys that played 40 minutes in the postseason, as we get closer and closer to April, if Josh Green can consistently keep up what he's been doing with the confidence and play the way he has, you know what I see? I want to see when he has a bad game. I want to see when he goes like 1 of 7 and with 3 turnovers. What's the next game look like? I want to see him come out with the same authority and the same competitiveness that he's had all season long, and I want to see that hasn't affected him. But for the meantime, the first 9-10 games of the year, I think it's been everything that we could have asked for.
For sure. And before I give my thoughts, I just want to make sure y'all go out to Chop Shop Victory Park right outside the AAC for Mavs home and road games. Not only home, but road games as well. They have discounts on drinks. The Mavs shot, $5. The Big German, $5. So make sure y'all check out Chop Shop Victory Park. I mean, it's looking good right now. He doesn't shoot that much, but he makes timely shots. The last 5 games, his field goal percentage, 40, 66, 66, 100, 100. I mean, and the boy's letting it rip. And that's what Dorian said post-game as well. He said confidence. That's what he's seen in Josh Green, confidence. It's funny how just a switch like that turns on, and now all of a sudden, the sky's the limit for him. I mean, it's kind of we don't want to see anyone get hurt in this game, obviously, but it's kind of a blessing in disguise for Josh Green in the game this afternoon. I mean, THJ is questionable at the moment, but if he doesn't play, Josh Green's getting those minutes, and it'll be good to see him have another game where he's playing 27 minutes. And you just see that the more he plays, the more he gets comfortable. And the more he gets comfortable, the more he barks at Kevin Durant. So it's good to see. This next topic, a little touchy. It's a little touchy. It's JaVale McGee being moved to the bench for Dwight Powell. And you're starting to see something in within this story, because first he was replaced by Dwight Powell in the starting lineup, because just the play that Powell has given in the limited minutes that he has this season, he was rewarded with the starting lineup call. And then you see Jason Kidd put McGee back in the starting lineup. He's trying to make everyone happy, but also do the right thing, because then he goes back to Dwight Powell, and McGee only plays, 4 minutes. So, Ian, I'll start with you on this one. What's your thoughts on just the way Kidd is handling the JaVale McGee situation, and just JaVale McGee as a whole? Because Sean DeVos knows, everyone knows, he came to Dallas to start. He even said it. He came to Dallas to start. Very important to him. What's your thoughts on that?
I think more than anything else, the JaVale McGee situation has been disappointing. Everyone probably would have liked to see him play better than he has. It's just not working, though. And that's sports, man. And it happens to everybody, and I'm not here theorizing whether JaVale can still play or whether he's washed or whatnot, but it's just that he was a backup in Phoenix. It's 2 years now removed from being on that 2020 LA team that won the bubble championship. You're 2 years older, and he's clearly at a different point in his career. And him not being a starter in Phoenix and the last time he started being that 2 years ago, and it's obviously LeBron requires something else out of his centers than most players in the league. It's just not an ideal circumstance or situation. And so to me, it's just been more so disappointing to see Cade somewhat stuck on this decision, and it's almost like he's making a decision by not making one, in that, like, he wants his hand to be forced so that it doesn't look like he's breaking his promise. That's what it really feels like to me. And, you know, I feel bad for JaVale because he's not getting an honest assessment of his game. He's more so getting, hey, you know, a shake hand deal. But at the end of the day, what matters is the results on the court, and those aren't coming. And so you have to do what works. And I think slowly Kid is starting to realize that. But the resistance towards doing so makes me feel like maybe Kid doesn't want to be viewed as going back on his promise. But, oh, everyone pressured me. I had to. You see the numbers. They're not great. Feels like he's making a point, as Kid likes to do. So it's just been disappointing to watch more than anything.
Sean Navaz, what's your thoughts on the JaVale McGee situation?
Yeah, I agree with Ian. I mean, it's unfortunate. You know, we all talked about over the summer when he was brought in, that he, you know, as a bench piece, you know, playing 10, 15 minutes a game, it might be valuable. I mean, going up against other centers, I mean, we didn't really know kind of how Kid was going to instill him in the lineup. And then when we, you know, we all hear that he's promised to start, you know, I kind of thought it was going to be much a Dwight Powell situation last year, where he comes in for 10 minutes, you know, or 5 minutes to start the first quarter, you know, gives way to Christian Wood or gives way to Maxey, and, you know, plays maybe the end of the fifth, and it kind of does the same thing in the third and fourth, and plays, you know, what, 10, anywhere from 10 to 15 a game. But I think you're seeing the mistakes, you're seeing the mental breakdowns. And I think Ian talked about somebody forcing Jason Kidd's hand. If you watch that pass that he had at the, you know, after the tip against the Nets, where he just kind of threw the ball right past Luka, and Luka looked right back at the bench and just, you know, it looks like he was mad as, you know, madder than he's ever been. And they took JaVale right out of the game at that point. He didn't play another minute. So I think if there's anybody forcing Jason Kidd's hands, it's your star player saying, I can't play with this guy. I would be shocked if we saw McGee in the starting lineup going forward, whether it's, you know, Dwight Powell or eventually Christian Wood or whoever it is. I think McGee is probably going to be one of those guys that's just going to come off the bench. And hopefully, you know, he takes it in stride and provides some veteran leadership. I think having guys that, you know, he has a relationship with, like Jason Kidd, Mike Jared Dudley on the bench, I think could probably ease that kind of notion of having to be relegated to bench duty. But, you know, hopefully he provides that veteran presence going forward. But at this point, I don't see how you can play him when you've got so many other players that deserve minutes over him.
Yeah, honestly, it's a sticky situation. I do give JaVale McGee props because he is taking this the right way. He is clapping for even Powell. He's, you know, he's cheering when he's not playing. So he is being, you know, a professional even under these circumstances. But it's a sticky situation. If I just feel like if you're going to play him, play him. If you're not going to play him, don't play him. I think it's that simple. But I think we're under a situation where he was given that starting lineup, and he was promised that role, and I think Kid's trying to do right by everybody, and I think when you're trying to win games, I mean, the first few games, that's, hey, you already did your job by starting him, but now as the season goes on, you gotta do what's best for business. I mean, isn't that what Triple H said in wrestling? I mean, it's just best for business, and that's what you're seeing when Powell plays. And like Ian said, I mean, Powell's doing his thing. I give Powell props. I mean, he's actually playing really well, and that's the thing that I wanted to see a long time ago: him in a bench role, limited, and see how he plays. And he's excelled in that role, and he even got more extended minutes by being a starter. And I feel like when I look at this team, what does Kid want with the starting five position? I honestly don't know. And we cover this team. And I honestly don't know, because if he wants a defensive center, it should be Maxi Kleber. It should have been him last season. If he wants an offensive center who can stretch the floor and score at will, it should be Christian Wood. He's your second best player. If he wants just energy all out, does the small things and has chemistry with Luka, it's Dwight Powell. And just let us know. Because playing JaVale McGee 3 minutes, 4 minutes, so he gets his start, it's not going to work. I mean, might as well just not play him and start DP. I mean, you have to do something as the time goes on later in the season and these games become even more important. You want some consistency with your rotations. And, you know, and I think, honestly, I think McGee would want that as well. I don't think he would want a empathy start, you know. I think he would wants to actually play and you know, these 5 minute stretches or these 3 minute games, that's not going to do it. So that's my thoughts. And it's kind of disappointing because he has all the potential in the world to work with Luka. He has the most athleticism on the team. And he should be getting.
And we've seen him catch a lot. Like, didn't he catch like a really nice lob from Dinwiddie the other day? And it was, you know, it's like, oh, that's what we wanted, right? That's what we were hoping when McGee came, you know, signed with the Mavs. It's okay, provide that rim running. And, you know, he's a guy who can doll almost on anybody and catch those lobs that we needed. It's just, it's not working out.
And he could take guys off the dribble too. Like, he has some handles, but it's just, something's off. The chemistry is off. Ian, you said what you needed to say on the situation.
Yeah, I mean, I've written extensively about it at this point in the season, and I'm tired of the off season promises that don't yield in season results, and just be willing to be flexible, because. So, like Kid has always talked about versatility and, you know, being willing to pivot and change. But Landon, like you said, playing McGee 3 minutes to start the game and have him be a -8 in those 3 minutes, what's the use? Like, what is the use? What are you gaining out of that action other than just and this is why it makes me feel that sometimes maybe he's trying to make a point that maybe Kid likes to have this backlog of data when he has these conversations with players where he's like, look, you know, we've started you in 7 of our 10 games we've played. You are a -25. Would you be open to exploring different roles? Maybe it's that, you know, that's the rational side of my brain. The irrational side of my brain says the logic isn't logicking. Like you said, Landon, if you want a big that can score and stretch the floor, it's Wood. If you want defense, it's Maxi. If you want energy, it's Dwight. JaVale doesn't fit really any of those molds. And maybe that's also part of the problem, is that since he doesn't fit any of those molds, Luka doesn't really know what to do with him when he's on the floor. Because he's just kind of hanging around in the dunker spot or like setting a random screen and hoping to get the ball when he's rolling to the basket. But he's not as athletic as he used to be. And so it's just this weird collection and weird moment where you can't shoot. You're not really as athletic. You're not a vertical floor spacer because you're not jumping over anyone anymore. And then, yeah, you block shots because you're big, but you're not a defensive anchor. And so McGee's in a hard place, and Kid needs to be the coach that makes the hard decision, because that's what they pay Kid to do. McGee's not going to come up to you and say, like, hey, don't play me.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because Powell started every single game last season, including playoffs. And then in the exit interviews, that's the first thing Nico said was, We got to get rebounding and we got to get rim protection. That's the first thing without even hesitating. They brought in Christian Wood. They brought in JaVale McGee. Dwight Powell is getting DMPs. And now it's back to last season. It's right back to last season where Dwight Powell is getting most of the minutes at the five. And
it's hilarious to me how at the start, and you remember during like media day and training camp, Landon, where they were like, oh, we can't just pick up from where we were last year. Like, this is a different team. And the rotations are slowly just becoming the exact same rotations they were last year when the team started winning. And just insert Brunson's minutes with Christian Wood, you know. And so the whole thing, it's just a funny situation in that, like, last year you had the recipe for winning with this same group. And then you try something different and it isn't working. And now in this 4-game win streak, you're kind of settling on the same exact rotation you had and playing the same guys. And you're essentially picking up where you left off. To me, it was just like, why explore the other things if you knew what worked for this group of guys?
And I think some of it has to do with the trust, right? I think you see who Luka and Kidd trust, and not to say that Kidd doesn't trust McGee, right? But I think we've seen time and time again, I alluded to the incident against the Nets with McGee in the past and Luka yelling at the bench. But you see the trust that Luka has, obviously, with Powell and Maxey. But even in the first 9 games, the trust he's built with Christian Wood, right? There seems to be, of respect there. And you've seen Luka, cheering on Christian Wood. You've seen Christian Wood, really attacking the basket. You've seen him doing exactly what his role is supposed to be. I don't see that, when you're watching games, I don't see that same kind of trust and chemistry between JaVale McGee and the rest of this team. And then that I'm sure that plays a part in whether it's, I don't know if it plays a part in the collapses or if it plays a part in some of the slow starts like against New Orleans, but it definitely has to affect it in some manner. It does, having a guy out there that not everybody's on the same page with can really, it really does hurt an NBA team.
I asked Kidd on Sunday at practice about what has improved in terms of first quarter starts, because the game against Toronto on Friday was actually the first quarter the Mavs had won since they played Brooklyn the first time. He gave a non-answer because in a roundabout way, it was asking that same question of, is it because McGee isn't starting? It was a way of rephrasing that same question. And he kind of gave a non-answer of like, we're just trying different things, the typical Kidd answer to the question. But I do think it's important to note that like the first quarters that the Mavs do win are the ones where McGee isn't playing. And that's a bad sign if we're talking about long-term success, which we kind of have to because he's on a 3-year deal. And if he's playing like this, I don't know what team is going to be willing to take on his money, even to match salaries for a bigger move, unless you have no other option.
It's going to be interesting. And honestly, I'm at a point where now he's starting to show, Kid's starting to show that his trust leads to wins. I mean, if you just look at the last 4 games, playing Dwight Powell works. I mean, it leads to wins. Obviously, the playoffs, you're going to need bigger bodies. You're going to need some defense, and you're going to need someone that can shoot. But in the regular season, I mean, like Sean Navaz says, I mean, if it works, it works. And I think you're going to slowly see his trust decrease. I mean, we're already seeing it with JaVale McGee, but I mean, honestly, in my opinion, I think Christian Wood should be playing over 30 minutes a game just to make your roster and just, your team unpredictable because even though Luka can get triple teamed every single night and still put up those numbers, you're still going to have to come to a point to beat the contenders, to play both of those guys at the same time. you can't stagger those minutes all season. If you want to really be a contender in this league, but if Dwight is out there and that's what Luka wants, I mean, and it's working. It's a difference if that's what Luka wants and it's not working. It's one thing, but it's working. So keep it rolling and see how many wins they can get. And right now they're on a 4-game winning streak and they got Magic today and the Wizards. Obviously the Blazers coming up is going to be a big one, but I know Kid always says one game at a time. So Paolo, rookie, the boy can play. So Ben Carroll looks good. So they can't take this game lightly. The boy is looking like a. I mean, what would y'all compare his game to? I mean, he's averaging 20 and 8 as a rookie. I mean, 22 and 8.
He kind of reminds, and it's not a fair comparison because I think he'll be better, but he kind of reminds me of how Michael Beasley was coming out.
Yeah,
right. I think he's got kind of a similar play style. He's probably a better shooter than Beasley was, but just like uber athletic and like the guy can attack the rim. I mean, Beasley was the same way. He just ran into, you know, some personal issues, unfortunately, and couldn't live up to his potential, but he had potential as a number two pick, right? I mean, Michael Beasley was scary for a lot of teams in his first couple of years. Ben Carroll reminds me a little bit of him just from, you know, his attitude and the way he can attack the basket. And, you know, he's got, like I said, he's got a better shot. So I'm excited to see what he can do because he was a good player in college and, you know, I enjoyed watching him, and Orlando seems like a fun team, you know, kind of on the rise. That'll be fun to watch.
You know, who would you compare him to?
Man, this is a really, really good question. Because I was trying to think, because I don't play those comparison games in my mind, but they are fun.
Yeah.
Because to me, Paolo just feels like a 101. Like, we've seen big guys with guard skills now. I mean, we were just talking about Kevin Durant, for instance, with the Nets games that the Mavs played. But, like, Paolo is also not, like, one of the skinny guys that has guard skills that are just tall. He's big. Like, he's a built dude. And I always knew that his game would translate well. Just because you see how hard he played at Duke. And so I think he's a one of one in my eyes. I can't really draw a direct comparison to anything.
Yeah, I definitely see both. I mean, I can see Michael Beasley because coming out of college, I thought he was going to be like a 8-time All-Star. A lot of promise there, and I also see he's one of one. I mean, he definitely makes the Magic watchable. Like last season, it was hard, and I love watching every team, not just the Mavs, but it was hard watching the Magic play last season. But with him, and then the development of Bol Bol, I actually like watching them play. So definitely going to be interesting. So last words. Sean DeVos, what's your last words for tonight's game? What are you looking forward to seeing from the Mavs?
I think the name of the game is consistency, right? I want to see more consistency out of Josh Green, Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, put it together for a long stretch. You know, I've been looking at the schedule, and I think the Mavericks are in what arguably you could say is going to be their hardest stretch of the season as we wind into 2023. They got to play the Nuggets twice, the Celtics, the Bucks twice, the Warriors, the Suns again, the Cavs twice. So it's not an easy stretch coming up in November and December for the Mavericks. So they really got to establish what's their identity, what is their lineup situation going forward, and find that consistency and full steam ahead as we get into 2023, because December is not going to be an easy month to get through.
Good words. Ian, what are you looking forward to seeing from the Mavs against the Magic this afternoon?
It comes down to effort for me, 4 quarters of effort. Kid has talked a lot about the first and the fourth quarters. And to me, if you're going to be bad in any quarter, be bad in like the second or the third, not the first or the fourth quarter. So if the Mavs can put together four straight quarters of good basketball, then a bit of my early season trepidations may be put to bed. But, you know, you never know. Sean Navaz might be texting me, it's only game 15. Only game 15.
Every single game. It's only game 82.
It's only game 82, Ian. Only game 82, bud.
I'm looking forward to Josh Green. Give me another 16 piece. You know what I'm saying? Give me a 16 piece for the fam. And just give me a tip dunk. That's all I'm looking forward to. Just continue the green light. Goodbye, everyone.